Today on Real Radio.
Issues are going on in life. Dynamic happening. And in the midst of all of that, you're a Christian in this world. An example of what God wants to do in a man's life or a woman's life. And all of these things that happen in our lives, it's a heart check.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. In the first two verses of chapter 4, the Apostle Paul writes that the believer is not to lose heart, and also never is to change or tamper with God's written word. It's a lesson in accepting whatever our good Lord puts in our path. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson simply called Heart Check.
First two verses. Powerful. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And while you're turning there, I want to remind you that the Bible tells us, Paul told the church at Corinth, or we'll say today, the Holy Spirit is telling us, the church in California, that to one, that is to someone that we live our lives out in front of, we are an aroma of death leading unto death. That is, our lives convince them, or speak to them, I should say, that we are Christians and God is eternal and that all things will someday come to an end, but they don't accept. They don't receive Christ. So the Bible warned us in 2 Corinthians 2:16 that our lives being lived to some, they see us as an aroma unto death. And to others, he said that our life is an aroma that leads unto life. And here's the punchline. He said, who is sufficient for these things? Meaning this, that as we look to this message today, the Christian in this world, in this life, has been ordained by God to be an example and a witness and an announcement regarding the existence of God, that God saves, that God's the creator, that God's the redeemer, that God loves, that God went to the cross. How will the world ever know about Christian truth if they're not going to read a Bible? Heaven is not wringing its hands in panic because the Gideons haven't got to every hotel yet. Heaven is not concerned because someone might not publish enough Bibles. God, wherever there are Christians, God will use them in a sense as a living, breathing, walking Bible to those who will never pick it up. Those of us who are Christians, God has called us to live the life. And it's a powerful thing. This morning's message is entitled Heart Check. Can you write that down? Heart Check. I guess I should have put some grammar into that. If I'm thinking about it, heart check. You may be saying, well, yeah, heart check. Spiritually speaking, a heart check. Yes, of course. Absolutely a heart check. But in my mind, I'm hearing like a checkup of a heart. You ever been to the doctor and they check your heart? I remember I was kind of offended. I don't know why. I'm not sure. I think I'm not sure why. But when we moved from the old building to this property and began to build this church, all of the insurance companies that are involved in all this stuff, it's a big deal, you know. We have to have this kind of insurance for this stuff. We have to have this kind of insurance for the other stuff. I mean, when we moved from that warehouse to this place, we clearly realized we were not in Kansas anymore, Dorothy. And all this stuff. And one of the insurance companies required that I had to go through a big battery of health tests. Like, what? What is that? And so they put you all, you got to go up and down these stairs. They got wires on you. You got to, and this is the winner, man. This is the great thing. How unnatural is this? Okay, run on this treadmill. So you're supposed to go there with your gym clothes on, right? And you're running, and they all these guys are sitting there. And it's kind of unnerving because they have the defibrillator machine there that you've all seen on TV. What is that for? Well, that's if you die in this thing, we can bring you back. Oh, that's great. Yeah, will you sign here? Well, what's that for? Well, that's so you don't hold us responsible. This is just great. And you're running and sweating, and they determine, okay, man, his heart rate's really up there. He's on the brink. Okay, quick, lay down. Stop, you lay down. And then they tell you this. Brilliant. Hold your breath. To stress out your heart. to see what it's made of. When we talk about a heart check, God is going to be checking our hearts this morning. And he's got the sovereign right to do it, you know. He's God. He doesn't have to ask for permission. He's God. And it's a good thing for us. It's a good checkup for us. 2 Corinthians 4:1 says, you can follow along with me, therefore, you ought to circle that word, it's powerful, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. What a master communicator the Apostle Paul is. It is awesome what he's saying. Check our hearts. That's a tremendous thing to consider. Number one, church, write it down. When we think about checking our hearts, what do we mean by that? What is he saying to us? What's the Holy Spirit speaking to us about? The first thing is found in verse 1, and I want you to think about this regarding experience. If we're going to check our heart as believers, as Paul is challenging us, we need to write this down and then judge our own hearts. The experience. What do we mean by that? Well, I want you to ask yourself, I've asked myself, I'll continue to ask myself this question. Have you encountered it? It what? The experience of God dealing with your heart. Listen, God wants to deal with your heart. The issues of our lives are issues that God intends to dig down into our heart. The things of life expose the heart. What's in our hearts? That's kind of a scary question. When you go for the exam and you run on the treadmill and they look at the scopes, they are desiring to see what's in your heart, so to speak, regarding the physiology of it all. And God says, events happen in your life. What's church? And your heart rate gets up. Issues are going on in life. Dynamics happening. And in the midst of all of that, you're a Christian in this world, an example of what God wants to do in a man's life or a woman's life. And all of these things that happen in our lives, it's a heart check. And the challenge that Paul is laying before us is, have we experienced that and have we encountered that experience with God? The Bible's very clear on it. He says, therefore, since we have this ministry. What does that mean? Therefore, in light of chapter 3, that's what the therefore means. It's a huge word. The word therefore means, in light of chapter 3, we have got this ministry. It actually implies we've got a better ministry than Moses had. Listen, church, that's going to take some faith to grab onto, but you should have it by now. We don't go up to a mountain and cover our face and get illuminated by God and then go back down and we deal with all this stuff and lose the glory. And it's not written on stones. No. It's all about, listen, you know the answer. Where is God's word now written in your life? Exactly. In your heart. God is about the heart. It's not stone. It's not going to the mountain. It's fleshly. God writes on the human heart. This is what God wants to have in the life of everyone. But issues are those things, when we experience them, we encounter God in those challenges, in those things, in the experience. Now, inevitably, someone's going to come up to me and say, Pastor, you know, you shouldn't talk too much about experience. I'm speaking about experience, not at the exclusion of doctrinal or biblical truth. I'm talking about, listen, because, and I'm making this assumption, because you are Christians and you've already come to faith in Christ, what should then follow for the rest of your life as a believer? Answer, incredible, awesome, God-ordained experiences. I am big on experiencing God. Not that I might have faith because of the experience, but because I have faith, I now will experience God in life. That makes all the difference in the world. Have you encountered the experience of God? Paul is asking us, since we have this ministry, a grand assumption is made. Corinthians, you've got the ministry that God intended to give, not through the law, but through the giving of Jesus Christ. By the way, the word is not clearly seen in English, but the Greek original New Testament actually says, therefore, since we have this kind of ministry, The kind that doesn't fade away. The kind that isn't based upon human performance. Meaning that there's no other like it. That it is absolutely and totally unique. That the gospel is one of a kind. There's not going to be another. And so the therefore is in light of the spirit of the law rather than the letter of the law. And that's very encouraging to me. And I just want to stress this, church. Please, let's revel in this. No one holds to any other religion or faith that even comes close to what you know regarding the gospel. When Paul says this ministry, this kind of ministry, he means it's so unique that you just bring together all of the cults and all of the belief systems and you just put them all together and none of them come close to this kind of ministry. Yesterday, I saw the Jehovah's Witnesses in my neighborhood going door to door. I was studying, so I wanted to be careful because I saw them. And the first thing I thought of is what you have in front of the seat pocket in front of you. Is Jesus God? If you don't have that flyer, take it home with you. You can download it at our website. Why? I have a stack of them at my door. And I said, as soon as they knock on my door, I'm going to hand them. And I'm going to talk to them. And then I realized, now, wait a minute. I don't want to do that to take away from study time. But wait, you love them. So I'm getting this dialogue with myself. So then I thought, forget it. I'm distracted myself. I'll just grab it and I'll go chase them down the street. I didn't do that, but I was going to do that. I grabbed it and I got ready to go. And I just felt the Lord say, you know what? I'll take care of them. You get into the word for Sunday morning. Don't be distracted about this. But if they would have knocked on your door, maybe they did, they would have told you all the things of their message. And just know this. They're all the same kind. But the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God sent his son, that Jesus died on the cross to rescue us out of this sin grip. And listen, the best of all is the benefits are for us that he broke the grave. He shattered death. The gospel, all done by God, empowered by God, wrought by God's grace. It's awesome to think. And Paul says, therefore, since we have this kind of ministry, we can sneak ahead for a moment. Look at verse 7. Chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. I love that verse. I quote it as often as I can. We have this treasure. What treasure? This kind of ministry. The gospel of Jesus Christ. That God did it all, church. God did it. What do I have to do to be saved? Believe in Jesus. Well, anybody can do that. That's right. Do it. That's why the gospel in some ways is offensive to people. It doesn't stroke your ego. It doesn't do anything for your performance. It doesn't do anything for your agenda. Well, for that matter, a child can believe. Amen. Isn't it funny? The older we get, the harder it becomes for us to believe because we become less like a child. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. This treasure, what is that? The power of God to restore and redeem and recreate and remake a life. The gospel message. This earthen vessel, notice the humility and the fragility of it and the fact that the gospel of God is eternal and he's housed it inside of you and I, our earthly bodies. That's what the earthly vessel is, our earthly bodies. That you and I would walk around this world being paraded, as it were, by the Holy Spirit in front of a lost world, in and out of all of the things that you and I come in contact with in our world with this intent. God says, I want to take these earthen vessels. My Holy Spirit dwells within them. They have the gospel, and I want to live it out of their lives. Lights and shining armor you are to the ends of the earth. Wherever you go, there's a mission for you as a Christian. There's never a moment when there's not a mission going on in your life. Well, I'm going to sign up for a missions trip. You're on a mission trip. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for by one, that is the Holy Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, that is the church. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we have all been made to drink of the one, that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the Bible teaches, is Almighty God, if you haven't caught on to that yet. The Bible teaches us, I love this, you've heard this before, I just love talking about it. And by the way, I'm going to give you, if you don't know the answer, most of you do, remember this answer that I'm about to give you, because you can go to seminary, you can go to Christian colleges or universities, and you may never get the answer to this question. That's kind of sad. But here it is. When the Holy Spirit comes to live inside you, the Holy Spirit, Almighty God, that is the moment that you're born again. What does born again mean? It means that you've called out to God in faith, and at that moment, the Holy Spirit moves inside. Have you ever moved inside of a house, moved inside of a building? Right now, by the way, you have officially taken possession of this sanctuary. Why? How? You came inside. You are the church. The Holy Spirit moves inside of you, and he takes possession of you, and all the way out to the tips of your fingers and the end of your toes and the top of your head is his possession. Okay? In that moment of being born again, in John chapter 20, here it is. You'll ask this question. When was the first person, or when did ever being born again ever happen? Because we know theologically it had to happen after the resurrection of Jesus. And we have to know this from Scripture, that it couldn't happen unless the Holy Spirit is placed inside of you. So the great question is, when were the disciples ever born again? They didn't start out being born again, but in John chapter 20, they done got born again. Well, where's that at? John 20, verse 21. And Jesus said to them, this is post-resurrection, pre-ascension, Jesus says, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. Verse 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. There's no tongues, there's no healing miracles, there's none of that stuff. Why? It has nothing to do with that stuff. The Holy Spirit moved inside of them, taking possession of them. And in that moment, those disciples were the first ones born again because the Holy Spirit was deposited by God himself. The Bible tells us that that spiritual DNA is something that you and I must experience and must encounter in our experience with God. If we're going to check our hearts to see if we're really believers, have we encountered God? And this is one of the great things. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12 says that he who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. That's freakish. Ephesians 1, 12. God is glorified, going to be glorified, and forever will be glorified in eternity by what he's done in our lives. Isn't that amazing? That is amazing to me. What's your future look like? According to Ephesians 1:12, really good. In him you also trusted. After you heard the word of truth, what is it? The gospel of your salvation. In whom also having believed, note these words, verse 12, trusted in Christ. Verse 13, trusted, then believed. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee, we would use the word today, down payment, of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. What does that mean? That means right now, listen, until Jesus Christ comes back, the Holy Spirit who dwells inside you, the believer, oh, listen, cheer up. I don't know if you're down this morning. Are you a little bit bummed out? Listen to this. If you're a Christian today, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, and he has sealed you with this. The word means the seal cannot be broken. Did you hear that? The seal cannot be broken. What is that seal? That God has set his seal on you to complete his redemptive work. What is that redemptive work? To present you before the Father, faultless, without blame, in his presence in glory. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, he does like it when you read the Bible, because that gives him more opportunity to bring forth the truth of God out in your life, because he's in you right now. Think of it. He's in you right now going like this. All right, eat some Bible. Come on, eat some Bible. Eat some Bible. Why? Because I want to throw up the Bible back on you. I'm inside of you, and I want to have it in you, and I want to take it, and I am, and this is how he does it. You all know this. This is when he does it. when you see this, or when you hear that, or when you're thinking this, or when you're praying, or when somebody talks to you, or whatever it may be, I'm going to grab it, and I'm going to put it right up there back behind your eyeballs. I'm going to put it in your head. It's got to be in your heart. You take in the Word of God. You just don't read the Bible like a newspaper. You are to soak in it. Why? Because the Holy Spirit wants to use that, and He presents it on the screen of your thinking. And you can experience God in every situation. When we are pulled away from the things of God and tempted and brought into sin or unrighteousness, what's happened? We have allowed other things to be portrayed or shot up onto that screen. And we are to wrestle those things. Why? Because we've encountered God. We know that there's a fight. And that's a very encouraging thing. Have I encountered God? And he says, since we have this ministry. What an awesome statement, ministry. We get the word deacon from this word in the Greek. It means to serve one another. You say, yeah, who's Paul talking to? Every believer in Corinth. Every one of them. You know, Pastor, isn't he talking about you guys? You know, you like staff people? No. We're included in the group because we're all a bunch of sheeps. Aren't we a bunch of sheep? It applies to all of us. God is saying in the Bible, you have a ministry. Do you have kids? You have a husband? You have a wife? You have a mom, dad, neighbors, co-workers? Ministry. This is encouraging. The next thing is, also in verse 1, that we understand this regarding the experience. Have you understood it? Have you understood the great and a wonderful thing that God has ordained your life to do and to be? It says, as we have received mercy, please underline that. As we have, it's in the past tense. We have received mercy. We do not lose heart. This is amazing. Because, church, without life's experiences, I will not appreciate the mercy of God. I never thought that a meteor flying by would do so much damage. I just thought it'd look cool in the sky. I never appreciated it. And now I realize, thank you, God, for being merciful to Southern California and not sending that fireball over our house. I didn't think that until I saw it. And many times you and I don't think things aright unless we experience it. And Christian, you, today, we have all experienced God's mercy. Mercy is not getting what we're supposed to get for all of our wrongdoing. Mercy is not getting. God, think of it. It's as though God had a brick to throw at us, but he doesn't throw the brick at us. Instead, he throws a Hostess Twinkie, if they still made those, or a muffin, I don't know, something cool. All right.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Heart Check, taken from the first two verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Heart Check, part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, remember the Engage conference, which we held back in July? It was mostly in response to the decision by the U.S. Supreme Court on what many folks call same-sex marriage and how true believers are to handle the situation in our day and culture. Well, a lot of folks who were unable to attend have gotten in touch and asked about the audio of the Engage conference. Now, if you were unable to attend, yet you wanted to, here's some good news. You can purchase the audio of the entire conference on a USB drive. Just visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and we've made it real easy for you to take it from there. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.